Welcome to the Along the Gravel Road podcast. Today's guest is actually a really good friend of mine, Louisa, and she did not send me a bio, so she's just going to have to sit here while I talk about all her accolades and how great of a person she is. Louisa is a new mom, first and foremost, and a lot of this episode is going to be about the things that she discovered through both pregnancy and postpartum around mental health that she did not expect and that she felt, you know, very alone in. And I really am excited for people to be able to hear her story, because I know that while her experiences may not look exactly the same as someone else's, they can definitely help, hopefully help somebody else along this journey. Louisa is both an incredible human, and she is also an amazing consultant with Emergent Method. She's a wife. Her family actually lives in Colombia, which is another big part of this, is that, you know, while her parents were around for the first couple weeks, thankfully, a lot of what she's been doing and dealing with is having her family in another country while she is raising a new beautiful baby girl. So I'm really excited to talk to her today, and I hope y'all enjoy this conversation. Hello, Louisa. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to do this. I know you're a little bit nervous, so we're going to just sit here and we're going to have a conversation, and hopefully people listening can really take away a lot from your story and your particular experience that I know so many new moms are going through. So let's jump right in, and if you just kind of want to tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're going to touch on today and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Louisa. I am a business management consultant. I am 32 years old. Wow, I can't believe that. And I am married to Matthew. We've been married for a little bit over a year.
Can't believe that either.
No, it's been crazy. Like, so much happened in the past year.
That feels like ages ago.
Yes. And we recently welcomed our very first baby, Elena. She's now 5 months old. And sometimes also that feels like it's been forever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like she was just born yesterday. And how is she so big and chunky already? But trying to figure out motherhood and going back to work. And I'm hoping that today what we talk here resonates with someone else, some new mom that's trying to figure out what to do or feeling the very same feelings that I've been, you know, feeling lately. So yeah, just ready to be vulnerable, and hopefully it helps someone.
No, it definitely will. That's from me being able to walk alongside you in this experience, even though obviously I could never fully understand what you've gone through. It's also helped me be able to be this a little bit of a resource to other people. It inspired me to want to do this series on that we're talking about perinatal mental health and maternal mental health, because I mean, even though I knew that there was a lot that we didn't talk about, that we kind of brushed over, and that new moms just didn't get to know about, like didn't know about, it really seeing you go through it, I was like, this has to change. Like, this is not supposed to be this way. It shouldn't be this way. And so, you know, you being vulnerable and open around with that, and now being a part of this podcast to do that, really does, in some small way or not so small way, opens doors for other people to help them see they're not alone in what they're going through. So I think what for me was like eye-opening a little bit in your experience was that a lot of times we hear about postpartum depression and like what happens after you have the baby, right? But during pregnancy, the things that happen emotionally and mentally is a lot of things, a lot of times people don't talk about or prepare for. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I was an anxious person before I became pregnant, right? I just never really wanted to kind of address it or say, you know, I should probably take some medicine. This would probably help me not, you know, make myself like suffer so much with my anxiety. But I just refused to think that that was one of my needs until I was pregnant. And I remember I was about 13 weeks pregnant. I had just passed that 12-week mark that is so important. Mm. You know, that first trimester is like, is this pregnancy going to actually be viable? Yeah. And so that was already kind of stressing me out. And then I remember that my parents were in town, and I was fixating over this new device that my OB gave me to measure my blood pressure and just make sure that everything was okay. So I just remember sitting on my computer working. My parents were in town, just at home visiting, and I start feeling kind of like lightheaded, and I'm like, okay, what's happening? And then my mind just started spiraling, doing all kinds of crazy things, telling me, you probably have to check your blood pressure. Your baby, like, what if you, you know, you pass that 12-week mark, but then you're not going to make it, it's the 13th, and like, I don't know. And my mind just started going crazy, and I went and grabbed the little device to take my blood pressure. And of course, I'm panicking. Of course, it's skyrocketed. Of course, that makes me panic. And so I just start feeling like I can't breathe. I had to go outside. My mom's like, try to calm down, try to breathe. I could not do that. And I just had to ended up going to Women's Hospital, you know, kind of as an emergency to figure out what was wrong. My heartbeat was crazy. Like, I could barely breathe. I thought I was gonna pass out. And then I get there and I have no symptoms. Like, everything's fine. And they are like, well, you know, we really think that everything's okay. Baby sounds amazing. We hear her heartbeat. She's fine. Her mama is not fine. And so they were like, well, you probably would benefit a lot from taking medicine, anxiety medicine. And I was just thinking, no, I don't really want to do that. And then they were like, you really have a long way to go. You realize that you're only 13 weeks. You have to make it to 40. And then postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety is very real. Like, it's going to get worse. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is not, I can't be possible. But yeah, come to find out it did get worse. But thankfully, I decided to go on with the medicine. And my God, I was like, why didn't I just do this before? This is like life-saving. My pregnancy, like, was, it just completely changed my experience during pregnancy. I was able to enjoy, you know, my time being pregnant. A lot of times I would feel, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, this completely cured my anxiety. I don't have any crazy thoughts or anything, but it would never get to the point that I would panic, which was the big thing. Yeah. And, yeah, it just helped me. I was on a tiny, tiny dose of it, though. So when I had Elena, we did need to increase it a little bit. But that was kind of my journey. It did help me so, so, so much.
Yeah. No, and I think, I mean, even for me when it came to medication, like getting back on it this summer, there was still a lot of hesitation for me, even knowing I knew how that it helped. And I knew like that I had struggled with just making that decision in the first place. And I thought I had sort of, I thought I was okay with that now, but there's still so much like on ourselves, like this pressure we put on ourselves to say, like, what does this mean if I, why can't I do this without this thing? But, you know, I think that's not necessarily the best way to think about it. And it's really just a barrier, another barrier that we're placing on ourselves to not be able to get the help we need. And that's as simple as it is that the thing about medication, and I think we had some conversations around this too, is that it's not that this is something that you necessarily couldn't eventually maybe do some things to put in place to like start managing it on your own. But where you are now, mm-hmm. everything you have on your plate in this moment, this tool right here is something that can help you get to a better place where you are able to put things in place that you can manage it. And whether it is just for a short time or it's for a longer period, it's a tool. It's another tool that we can use. And at that moment, I think a lot of new moms or a lot of folks in during pregnancy to like really think or know, and I don't think we really know, and this is another issue altogether, is just that what we don't really know about women's hormones and like the things that are happening with our bodies. But the things that are happening with your body is not something anyone is really well equipped to manage. And so to just have that help.
Yeah.
Is huge.
Yeah. And I remember when I went to perinatal counseling, my therapist said, you don't need to suffer.
No.
That was the thing. That was like, it really clicked when she said that. And I'm like, yeah, why do I need to put myself through all of this just to say that I'm not taking mm-hmm. this medicine? Like, it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So that, and then just thinking about my baby, that, you know, something could harm her if my blood pressure mm-hmm. was out of control. So just anything, I would do anything to make sure that my baby was okay.
Yeah.
So those were two big things for me.
Yeah, that helped you move forward with that. And I think a lot of people probably could use hearing that, because for a lot of us in the back of our heads, it's seen as a weakness, but really it's a sign of strength to make that decision to say, no, I don't have to suffer. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's that time you've already started recognizing that, you know, that it's about your baby and what you can do for this child, and what the best thing you could have done for her was take that medication and take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I grew up thinking that this medicine was a terrible thing. And for me growing up in a Latino household, it was depression. It wasn't a real thing. Mm-hmm. It was like, why are you sad? Just pray and just go and find something to do. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I don't know. I didn't, you know, know how my parents were going to react to me telling them I'm getting on anxiety medicine. And I was actually very surprised that they were open to it. And really? They were like, well, you know, if that's going to help you, that's good. So that was another kind of layer that helped me feel like, okay, this is the right decision.
Yeah.
So.
And was that, did you y'all have any more conversations around that, or was that kind of where you landed?
I think we have tried to have conversations, but, and I know they try to help, right? they have the best intentions, but my dad he's like, well, you just need to think the positive. You just need to have confidence in yourself. You're like a very talented person, or, you know, this mm-hmm. and that. And my mom's like, well, you have to pray to God. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I love you guys, but never mind.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think that's one of those things. Like, it's, I'm glad that you were able to open up to them, and that they, and that pressure was sort of lifted of like wondering what they would think about this thing, this decision that you made. But at the end of the day, you do have to still recognize that some people are going to have their beliefs about things. And, you know, hopefully, though, I think in a lot of small ways, and I've had a lot of conversations around this, especially with people who come from, you know, from different cultural backgrounds, is that even just by, you know, chances are they may end up being able to get pieces and parts of this podcast or listen and have you still continue to have these conversations around these things you're going through. Yeah. And even if it's not directly, I'd imagine that something they go through, they may have a feeling that is an anxious feeling or something like that. And it might shift their perspective, even in a small way or in the way that they interact with other people that might be dealing with something similar. Mm-hmm. And that's really like the best thing we could hope for, right? Is that it just gives people a little bit more space to say or to look at things in a different way than they would have before.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about your family, I did in your intro, I did mention, you know, that your family's in Colombia and that they were thankfully able, your parents were able to be here for a chunk of time after Elena was born. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I imagine that has not been easy, and it, you know, not always having your mom, especially right here, you know, is challenging.
Yeah, that is. And it was crazy because we had planned on having her for the birth. Mm-hmm. But of course, Elena decided to show up at 37 weeks. So she wasn't here. My mom wasn't here. And I just call and I'm like, my water broke. I'm in labor. We're doing this. And she's like, what? And so I'm like, can I book you a flight for tomorrow? And she's like, yes. And she just like packed everything and just, you know, the next day she was here. And it was crazy because I had Elena, whatever, we go back to the house and I am like having like a, you know, meltdown, crying because she was screaming from hunger, I guess. And you know, at that time, like the second day that, you know, you have your baby, your milk has not come in. Mm. So it's just, and the baby's freaking out and you're like, what is happening? Is it time for the formula? I'm like, no. Like, it's just like, let your body do its thing. Mm. But at the same time, it was very stressful. I didn't know what I was doing at all. And, you know how the house has so many windows around. And so my mom's just standing there, waiting on us to open the door, looking at us through the window, struggle with the baby. And then I'm like, when I look at my phone, my mom's like, I'm here outside. And she's like, I was watching you guys for like 10 minutes. We were like, oh my God. Yeah. And so she got there and she was like, okay, hands on, what do I need to do? Like, she did all the things, like all the cooking, the loving on me. And that was really big, because when you become a mom, you have to give everything mm-hmm. of you. And at that point, I was like, I have nothing else to give. And, you know, my mom came in to kind of nurture me too. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, okay, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, when the baby needs food, the mom needs food. Mm-hmm. When the baby needs sleep, the mom needs sleep as well. But it's kind of one of those things, when you have your baby, everything and everyone is about the baby. Mm-hmm. And the mom is kind of like, you know, you know, how's the baby? How's the baby? But like, how's the mom?
Yeah.
Right? So it was amazing to have her. She was here for 6 weeks. And then at 6 weeks, we were kind of ready to make that transition into what is parenthood going to look like. Just the two of us together. We cannot expect to have my parents here forever. So, yeah, it was amazing to have her. And my dad was here for about 3 weeks. But we were ready. We were able to transition. My mom was here for a very crucial period of time mm-hmm. where, you know, I was just struggling. And then it was good. But yeah, I mean, I try to keep them, you know, I try to FaceTime them mm-hmm. all the time, make sure Elena knows who they are. Yeah. And then we're traveling to Colombia for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited that she's going to get to experience her country for the very first time.
Oh, that's so exciting. I just got goosebumps thinking about it. But yeah, and you know, you talked about especially in those 6 weeks, and a lot happened. You went through a lot. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about like the things you experienced during pregnancy. What about postpartum? What did that look like? What did taking care of yourself and your mental health look like?
Wow. My gosh, yeah, postpartum, I just remember, like, I don't know, the first couple of weeks are kind of a blur mm-hmm. because we were just so exhausted. But I mean, having the baby, you know, I gave birth naturally, and so I literally pushed a baby out. And then I went without any medicine whatsoever. And then I went home with ibuprofen. And that was it. And you're bleeding a lot. And, like, I really wish, that's one of the things I really wish we talked about more. You know, I guess our society made us more aware of the things that we're going to experience once we become a mom, because you just see this romanticized idea on social media with this girl that just gave birth and she's like cleaning the house and breastfeeding is perfect. And it was like I had on a diaper for a month mm-hmm. and could not even wear, like, I had to go around shirtless because everything hurt. Breastfeeding hurt so bad, like, you know, my nipples were cracking. It was borderline bleeding. And I am like, what is happening? Am I alone in this? And no, I am not alone. You're never alone. There's mm-hmm. someone else going through the same exact struggle. And that is what I feel is very powerful when I had the chance to talk to other moms. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my neighbors reached out and she was like, I had the baby blues hit me so hard. The first 2 weeks were the hardest of my life. And I was like, so you're telling me this is how you felt as well? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, why is nobody mm-hmm. talking about this? And yeah, recovery was hard. I had a tear, so I also had to heal from that. And you just have all of this going on, but it's you're kind of an autopilot, like just you have to function somehow because there's this little tiny human that you have to keep alive, right. And they are very needy. It's 24/7. And so I was like just losing my mind just from the lack of sleep, the physical pain. I think once I pushed that baby out, like every muscle in my body hurt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just feel like I was hit by a truck. Where's my ibuprofen? Right. And so, yeah, that was a lot. And then I remember having my lactation consultant over because the baby didn't seem to latch properly. And then that was like a whole, you know, added pressure, like component there. Because for some people, you know, maybe breastfeeding was smooth, but mm-hmm. I would say for the majority of, you know, first time mom, breastfeeding is a struggle and is really painful.
Yeah.
Like it was sometimes like I would compare as painful as the contractions and like, you know, giving birth. Mm-hmm. And I remember trying to breastfeed her with one of those bags in case I had to you know, literally throw up from the pain that I was feeling. So it was just, I don't know, just really, really hard. And it helped so much that I had an amazing support system. You know, I had my parents there. My husband was very present in helping me. The lactation consultant, the midwives at the birth center, and then my amazing friends that showed up in every single way. You know, having the meals drop off and all of that was huge. So that definitely helped so much with their recovery. Just giving me the tools to be able to not worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about cleaning. You know, worry about recovering and the baby, which is already a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was good. And once I started to feel a little bit better, I think it was probably 5 weeks postpartum, I started seeking counseling. And then I started going on to therapy for you know, postpartum anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So that also helped me a lot. And, you know, little by little, it does get better. Everybody tells you it gets better. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when?
Yeah.
But it did get better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can say from, like I said, kind of walking with you through some of this is that part of it where, just like you were saying, the part that that people don't really talk about, but every single new mom is going through this. And instead, I think because you do get to the other side of it and you start to see this beauty and this wonderful thing. And sometimes I think, maybe it was you that asked, like, how does somebody decide to do this again?
Oh, yeah.
While you're going through it. I'm like, I think they forget.
Everybody says that.
But it's also that, you know, it's sort of the stigma around like, but you're so lucky, you've made a beautiful thing, you've created this beautiful this beautiful new life, you brought life into the world, and isn't the baby beautiful? And it's like, yes, and I am just struggling and I am in pain, and both of those things can be true, that this beautiful baby is here and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And I don't, like, it, there were some times I didn't know if I was going to make it through this, mm-hmm. this part of it. Yeah. And then all of like the really gross stuff that happens, the things that happen to your body physically, the things that happen to you emotionally, that should be motherhood 101. Like, everyone should know this, is because we should, as a society, be able to talk about it. And it's not just for a new mom. It's also for the people trying to support the new mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what I tell people, if they're like, oh, I'm trying to think of like, well, how can I support a friend of mine who's about to have a baby? I'm like, the biggest thing to do in those first few weeks and during pregnancy is whatever you can do to help take care of the mom, mm-hmm. because she's not taking care of herself. She can't. She's got to take care of a baby, mm-hmm. That she is probably not emotionally, mentally, physically equipped to do. Mm-hmm. So it's the way you described your mom nurturing you while you're nurturing your new baby, I could like picture this just beautiful moment of almost like your mom sort of lifting you up and like holding your hands around a baby, holding you up so that you can hold this baby. And that's all of these, the best way to be this support system is to literally lift up the mother in every way possible, mm-hmm. so that she can now do this new huge job that she has, you know, that she's wants to do, that she's ready to do. But it's like, that's it. And obviously the baby needs things too, but the mom's got that, you know. And I think you also really showed me that was your priority, and the way you navigated it and worked through it and grew through that process was beautiful. To see you, like, I think I've said this to you before, it's like you doing this and watching you go through this, in a lot of ways, instead of like this thing about like seeing somebody raise a child or having a baby can like scare you from having a baby, in so many ways it was the opposite for me. Like seeing you, it's like I want to be able to experience this too. And it was because of the way that you were vulnerable and that you said, like, asked for help when you needed it, and that you were honest about the really hard feelings and painful things that you were going through, instead of just trying to push through and power through and get to the next moment. And the way that you did the work so that you could continue being better for your daughter was incredible to see. Even like through the breakdowns and through the moments where you weren't sure if you were going to make it through. And then the way though that you managed it on the other side of it, to like to recognize what you just went through instead of just like going on to the next thing like so many of us do. You took the time to say, that was hell and I made it through and now I've learned from it. And I know that it's going to be hell again, but I know I have a little bit more to get me through it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I mean, it's so sweet that you describe it as beautiful. And on my end, I see anything but beautiful.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. You were a mess. But but it was beautiful. Like, every time, it's so hard to be a person trying to support somebody knowing that I can never fully understand what you're going through. Knowing that, and I know you use this term too, like, you were alone. You were. You can't even pretend that motherhood, you're not going through this alone, even if you have a partner, even if you have all the people around you, even if you're never alone physically, you were alone in a lot of those moments, so terribly alone. And knowing that as a person who wants to help you, but having to like recognize that this is something you have to get through yourself, and then seeing you do that, that was the beautiful moment. It was messy. Oh, it was very messy.
Yeah, and it still is. Yeah. And just thinking about how lonely it can feel, you know, I was thinking that since I had Elena, I haven't had a full night of sleep in more than 5 months, because when I was pregnant, when you're so pregnant, you're also so uncomfortable that and you have to go to the bathroom every 2 seconds. Yeah. So it's like, no, you know, I haven't slept a full night in months and months. So that does something to a person.
Yeah.
Right. And so thinking about that loneliness, every night I have to get up to pump. And so you just kind of sit when everything is quiet, maybe sleeping. Typically she's sleeping, your husband's sleeping, and you're just there. It's so quiet, and you're just, you know, pumping, you know, doing this thing, you know, to provide food for your baby, and yet feeling so alone. And so it still feels that way, even though it's been already 5 months. I think we're out of the trenches now. We're, you know, managing everything. We're enjoying her. I wasn't able to enjoy her at first because it was just so, I was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. But now it's just so fun to see her smile, to see her giggle and discover, you know, new things, be aware of her environment. But yeah, it's still sometimes very lonely, especially that part where, yeah, you have to get up in the middle of the night, either to feed the baby or to pump for her, because you gotta make sure that you provide for her. Mm-hmm. So
it is one of those things. Like, I think that's another thing, like, to not want to like say that being a new mom or being a mom period is lonely is a lie. It's another one of those things we try to you know, like, sugarcoat and make romanticize, like you said, this whole process. But in those moments, it's this deep loneliness that somebody can feel. And loneliness is a can be hell, you know, and it can lead to a lot of dark thoughts and bring people to a lot of dark places. So being able, that's another thing I think you have to learn and work through, is to be able to sit with that loneliness mm-hmm. and accept that, yeah, in this moment, this is just me. It's just going to be me getting through this and doing it. And yeah, there's courage in that. There's strength in that to be able to do that. But it's also can be really painful. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have probably felt that feeling and then felt some shame around feeling like that. To say like, oh, well, you know, me complaining about being lonely when my husband has been so supportive, or X, Y, and Z has been so supportive. But yeah. It's not that. Like, it is lonely, period. You know, there's no shame in that.
It is. That's true. Yeah. And that's true. I even think, you know, how do single moms do this? And I would think about that so much and try to make that help me kind of boost my my, you know, mood or whatever, because I was like, I do feel very thankful that I have access to so many tools.
Yeah,
you know, just being able to seek therapy and mm-hmm. counseling, and having a husband, and not only having a husband, having one that's present, having one that wants to be part of this, and having access to a lactation consultant, mm-hmm. having access to, you know, help my baby with therapy for her tongue tie, all these things that I am able to access, and it's still difficult. Right. So I can't imagine what it is for someone that can access all of that. And that's one thing that I would love for, you know, for it to change. Mm-hmm. Because so many women become moms and like, you don't have all the tools at the tip of your fingers to go through that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and it's amazing to me, we talked about this on another episode around this same topic, that it is literally what is keeping the world going, and yet we don't put the resources towards it that mm-hmm. we should. Mm-hmm. It's wild. Obviously, it's not, there's a lot of systems in place that sort of work against it that need to be changed, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But being open and being vulnerable and being able to share your experiences is definitely still makes a difference, you know, and having those sort of communities of people that are open and honest about their experiences to say like, no, you're not the only one who's done this. Like you are not, that everything you're going through warrants help and support, and that there's nothing wrong with asking for it. And then we are getting kind of towards the end of this, but another thing that came up that I think a lot of people don't talk about is, you're like, I hate my husband right now. Is that normal? It's like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's another piece of it. And you talk about how supportive he is, and he definitely is a very present parent, and seeing him become a dad has been really, really great too. But I can imagine the challenges that you're facing with your partner during this experience.
Yeah, something that I had no idea was a thing is postpartum rage.
Yes, that is not a term we hear a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a thing, very much so.
Yeah.
And so, and you have this innate instinct to take care of your baby. And so for me, it was, I didn't want anyone to hold her. Mm-hmm. It was so weird. I was scared that, you know, she just came out of my body. I did everything to protect her when she was in my belly. I cannot control everything now that she's out. So I had this like drive to protect this baby, and everything else kind of didn't matter. And then, you just start experiencing this rage over the littlest things. Like, I would, you know, make up you know, scenarios in my head where I would be maybe my husband's like holding the baby, going through like the door, you know, and it's gonna hit her head, or what if he drops her, or what if, you know, all these crazy things. And I was like, no, I don't want you to be around her at all. It was so weird and so crazy. And I had no idea. And another thing that was like, kind of, it's funny now, but it wasn't at the time. It's like, he would be tired. I'm like, are you tired of what? Did you push out a baby? Or I'm sorry, what did I miss? And I mean, of course he's allowed to be tired. Like, I'm sure he is extremely tired. I mean, is he as exhausted as I am? Probably not. But I have to allow him to be tired, right? But it just felt like, how dare you say you're tired? Are you seeing me right now? So it was, yeah, it sounds funny now, but it definitely wasn't funny. And I'm glad we're past that.
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks, poor thing, he had to put up with a lot.
Yeah, and thankfully he, you know, I think he was pretty well equipped to handle it and understanding enough to, like, because he has been so present and open, and y'all are able to talk about a lot of this stuff that you're going through, that I know, I mean, I'm sure on first instinct there were a lot of emotions that came up for both of you, for him as a reaction. But I think being able to move past it and say, this is just for now, this is temporary, we will get through this.
Yeah.
To have a partner that can do that without sort of taking it personally, because, well, a lot of that was pretty personal.
Yeah. Well, he did have to remind me, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
You know, just in the darkest moments, because I sometimes, and it was really not just with him, it was like also around my mom. You know, when she came from Colombia, I had her wear a mask around the baby for several days, and I was like, what if she you know, caught COVID, and you know, at the airport, or I don't know. It was just, your mind is so crazy. Those days that yeah, anything made me like go from 0 to 100 very, very quickly. But yeah,
well, in so many ways it's like that is, it is sort of like this animal instinct, like yeah, there's so many hormones and chemicals and everything in your body now telling you, protect this being at all cost. You, at a certain point, there are some things that you have very little control over. And these emotions that come up are one very real thing that, especially if it's not something you sort of expect to experience, can be overwhelming in a lot of ways. And we can only do so much to manage that, you know? And so it does take, you know, the people around you to also be open to understanding what, you know, what somebody is going through in those moments, to be able to get through that together. You know, 'cause that's not something you can change, honestly. Obviously there's ways you can try and manage the way you react to, or interact with those emotions, but they're gonna come.
They are.
They're gonna come. And I think another one of those things where we should know that they're gonna come. We should all be talking about this. This should be common knowledge of all the things that could potentially, you know, that a lot of moms go through when they're dealing with this process. I think I said that we were coming to an end a while ago, and I thought of something else I wanted to talk about, but you also mentioned COVID. You mentioned being scared that, you know, and it's a very real fear, especially with the fact that we just went through and are still in, very much in sort of this post-pandemic and state. And so hyper-vigilance around sickness and, again, protecting your child at all cost. You had to go through all of that all simultaneously.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes society expects to go meet your baby that just came out of your body very, like, quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have seen a lot of, I guess on social media, like a lot of trying to create awareness that that's not really best, I guess, best practice. You know, typically you would want to expose your baby when they're about 2 months old, when they get their you know, shots and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes, you know, just the thought of even having someone come from outside to visit your baby. I remember even struggling with my lactation consultant, you know, because she was in our house the next day after I had Elena. Mm. So, and she's, you know, examining her for oral ties. So she's like sticking her, you know, fingers in her mouth. And I'm just here thinking, oh my gosh, is she clean? Is she, you know, I'm just like freaking out. And sadly, it did happen that Elena got COVID when she was 2 months old. Mm-hmm. And she was just so little. So it was so scary. I don't think I got an ounce of sleep that week. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she honestly, she did okay. Yeah. I was the one that wasn't okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't super scary for her. She was just really fussy and uncomfortable, you know, just the normal kind of symptoms, nothing super crazy. But it was just really, really scary for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of being aware of, you know, again, it's new, fresh baby. just trying to kind of what we call a cocoon, you know, to protect the baby. Like, you know, if you can get your flu shots, get your COVID vaccine, that way everybody that's around the baby is acting kind of like a barrier.
Yeah.
For the illness. So
yeah, I think that's another great great sort of tool, like, for people who are trying to be a support system, is everything you can put into place to take some of that fear away and
make
some of that
comfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do it. You know, because at the end of the day, like, obviously people who aren't experiencing it with you, you know, you can definitely start to forget, but for you don't get to turn that off. Like, mm-hmm. other people get to, oh, that's you know, don't worry is like a big, but that's not, you can't not worry. That you are literally now, like, it is your instinct.
Mm-hmm.
It is your imperative. It is your job, your role, your everything to worry and about this child. And so the best thing somebody can do is help alleviate some of that worry in whatever
just
way possible.
Being respectful of whatever the mom wants to
boundaries.
Do at the time. Yeah. Respecting boundaries and, you know, not expecting to just hold a baby, or, you know, if the mom is not okay with it, like, it's not a potato.
Right.
So
I think that's another really great thing. It's like, just take the mom's lead, like, just let you know, be there, no, let them know you're there, and then follow their lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is that simple. But I think you also did a really great job at learning and growing, and then setting boundaries based on the things that you learned and found and navigated along the way. I think, like I said, seeing you at this point and knowing everything you've gone through, it's, yes, you did it. You're still doing it. But this is something, like, I hope that you celebrate how much
I was
you've
saying
been able
when
to
she it. Turns one. I'm not going to make it about her. I'm going to make it about me.
Yes. You made it a year. That's huge.
It is.
Well, also, I mean, because it's, wait, do y'all have what's the birthday? Is it?
June 11th.
So almost the same birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's do that.
Right.
for as long as we can,
she's
at least
not
for the first.
Know what's yeah, happening she's not anyway.
So for the first couple of years, let's just celebrate the fact that you've made it through this.
Seriously,
that is huge, a huge accomplishment.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay. So yes, we really do have to wrap up now. So if you were to either like share one message for a new mom, or like one thing that you would want somebody to really take from this conversation that we've had and from your experience, what would that be?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard to try to, you know, put into words. But I think for me is, again, you're going to think that you're alone and it's going to feel lonely, but you're never the only person going through that. Mm-hmm. And reaching out and being vulnerable is going to help other people open up. And that way you can hear other people's experiences and understand that not only you're not alone, but there's everybody that becomes a mom goes through some degree of, you know, depression or anxiety, and that it is going to get better, you know. Mm-hmm. And it might sound like, oh yeah, everybody says that, but it is going to get better.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to look back and be proud of yourself for everything that you've been able to accomplish. So that's my biggest thing. You're really not alone.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sharing this journey and, you know, this beautiful experience and painful experience and messy experience and
anytime.
All of it.
Thanks for not making me feel nervous, awkward, and all the things.
Of course.
I love it.
And thank you all for listening.